As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Big station announcement tomorrow morning on Kale & Company, by the way. You'll definitely want to hear that at, what time is it? I don't remember.
7:30.
Okay, 7:30 tomorrow morning. They'll announce it when they announce it at 7:30. I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not allowed to, and I don't want to get fired. I mean, I kind of do want to get fired, but I kind of do, but not really. I don't want to get fired for cause. Let's put it that way. Then I don't get any severance. You know what I mean? So I don't want to do that. But it's a good announcement. All right, fine. I'm going back to mornings, starting on May 1st. Every 2 years, we're just going to keep flip-flopping. That's what we're going to do for the rest of time. Okay. We've got a lot of audio to get to. We have, I think we've only done half of our 97 clips. Is that about right, guys? I think we're halfway through.
We've got quite a few to get through.
All right, let's do that. Let's play him on the YouTube stream too. I'm gonna take myself off camera though because I gotta pick my nose. So,
what? You can pick.
Well, I got a booger. You know, I don't want to be seen on camera with it. Yeah,
you could have just turned the camera off for a second, said nothing, and then come back on. Nobody needed to hear the excuse.
Yeah, I know. I even have my nice fancy Fox News makeup on today. I may have mentioned this. I was on America's Newsroom this morning on Fox News with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer and Jimmy Failla this morning. Did I mention that?
You really should do a better job of promoting yourself. I didn't know that.
All right. Tomorrow morning, I'll be on Newsmax. Tomorrow afternoon, I'll be on Newsmax. And then Friday, I'll be back on Fox News. Well, Saturday night, I'll be on Fox News on Jimmy Failla's show. How's that for self-promotion? Better?
That's pretty good. I just worry that you're not going to mention it again and people might forget.
Yeah, it's possible. You're right. I'm gonna set a reminder. Set a reminder to remind everybody about my media appearances in 10 minutes. Okay, great. Great, got that settled. And there's a chance. I don't know. Friday, I'm not on the air Friday because we have to tape Failish TV show. But I may be filling in for him on his radio show. Possibly. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. So I might still be on the station at some point that Friday. But we'll see how that goes. But. And if that's the case, then you can't make fun of me for taking Friday off, because I technically worked. So just pointing that out, just saying. The president today was asked a number of questions with the president of El Salvador in the Oval Office and was asked how many illegal criminals he'd like to export to El Salvador. Cut number 4.
Let's hear the question from this very low-rated anchor at CBS.
Thank you, President. Do you plan to ask President McKinley to help return the man who your administration says was mistakenly deported? The man who was mistakenly deported to El Salvador?
Well, let me ask Pam, would you answer that question?
Sure, President. First and foremost, he was illegally in our country. He had been illegally in our country. And in 2019, two courts, an immigration court and an appellate immigration court, ruled that he was a member of MS-13 and he was illegally in our country. Right now, it was a paperwork.
How many criminals are you planning on exporting to El Salvador? And President Bukele, how many are you willing to take from the U.S.?
As many as possible. And I just asked the president, you know, it's this massive complex that he built, jail complex. I said, can you build some more of them, please? As many as we can get out of our country that were allowed in here by incompetent Joe Biden through open borders. Open borders. You probably hear open borders and you can't even understand it because nobody can understand. Nobody smart or with common sense can understand it. So we have millions of people that should not be in this country that are dangerous, not just people, because we have people, but we have millions of people that are murderers, drug dealers. They've been allowed to come into our country by other countries that were very smart.
I want to mention there's also an update, too, in the governor's mansion fire in Harrisburg. The suspect facing charges of attempted murder and arson, he's a suspect. Only in the technical speaking, he's, you know, admitted he's done it here. But he told police he planned to beat Governor Josh Shapiro with a small sledgehammer if he encountered him. He was being treated at the hospital, which police said was not connected to this incident or his arrest. And his mother said he was off his medication and that she had tried in recent days to get him assistance for mental health issues, but nobody would help her. She said her son has bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. He wasn't taking his medication, his mother said, and that's all I want to say. And obviously, we'll learn more about this guy as time goes on. The charges that he's facing include attempted homicide, terrorism, aggravated arson, and aggravated assault. And this was the start of Passover. Governor and his family were okay, but they're saying it was only because of a door that was shut that they were okay, that they survived. The fire was really bad. I mean, it caused a tremendous amount of damage to the governor's mansion, the governor's residence, which is a mansion. He walked an hour from his home to the governor's residence. He said during a police interview, he admitted to harboring hatred towards Governor Josh Shapiro, and he's got a major, major screw loose. And the president also commented on this as well. He said this can't be allowed to happen in our country. Cut number one. Sorry, cut one.
Have you attributed a motive through the FBI investigation behind the attack on Governor Josh Shapiro over the weekend?
No, I haven't. But the attacker was not a fan of Trump, I understand. Just from what I read and from what I've been told. The attacker basically wasn't a fan of anybody. It's probably just a whack job. And certainly a thing like that cannot be allowed to happen.
Okay, he's right. I think he was just a whack job. I really do. Just a total whack job. There's no doubt about it. Totally nuts. You know what I mean? It's really what it comes down to. And it's a damn shame. But thank God the state police, the firefighters got there and they were able to protect him and keep him safe and his family safe. It's horrific. Now, like I said at the start of the show today, I can condemn this. Why can't the Democrats condemn the fire bombings and the attacks on Tesla dealers and Tesla drivers and everything else? Because, you know, you throw a Molotov cocktail at a Tesla dealer, how do you know there's somebody inside? You can kill somebody. You're destroying property, arson, it's political terrorism, political violence, yet you ask Democrats, they can't condemn it. They run from it. President today was also asked about Ukraine and Russia and was asked and said that Russia's attack on Ukraine was a mistake. And this is what the president said. This is cut number five today from the Oval Office with the president of El Salvador there. Take a listen.
President, you repeatedly mentioned last night that Russia's attack on Ukraine was a mistake. What is the exact mistake? And have you given Putin a deadline to actually move toward a ceasefire?
The mistake was letting the war happen. if Biden were competent and if Zelensky were competent, and I don't know that he is. We had a rough session with this guy over here. He just kept asking for more and more. That war should have never been allowed to happen. That war, I went 4 years and Putin wouldn't even bring it up. And as soon as the election was rigged and I wasn't here, that war started. There was no way that war should have been allowed to happen. And Biden should have stopped it. And you take a look at Putin. I'm not saying anybody's an angel, but I will tell you, I went 4 years and it wasn't even a question. He would never. And I told him, don't do it. You're not going to do it. And it was the apple of his eye, but there was no way that he would have done it. All you had to do is lower oil prices. If you lowered oil prices, Biden kept the prices so high because he made it impossible to get it. If you lowered oil prices, you would have never had the war. But you wouldn't have had it with me anyway. That war would have never happened. And I think it's a great abuse. So now what do? You get a country where 25% of its land is gone and the best locations, where millions of people are killed. You know, you haven't reported accurately the death. And this was Biden's war, and I'm trying to stop it. And I think we're going to do a good job. I hope we're going to do. They lose 2,500 young people a week, think on average. Now, they're Russians and they're Ukrainians, but it's 2,000. We don't care. It's like whatever it is.
Intolerable.
They're not from your country. They're not from mine, but I want to stop it. 2,500, it's a killing field. It's like the Civil War. You take a look. I look at the satellite pictures. This should not be happening in our time. Of course, our time can be pretty violent, as we know. But that's a war that should have never been allowed to start. And Biden could have stopped it. And Zelensky could have stopped it. And Putin should have never started it. Everybody's to blame.
Now we just got to end it. That's the thing. We got to end it and we got to move on from this. And that's really the key part of this. You know, one of the things I mentioned earlier in the show is that the Democrats will never allow somebody they can't control to be in the White House. If Kamala Harris were president right now, we would not be discussing the end of the war between Russia and Ukraine. We would be talking about how much more money we're going to send to Ukraine. That's the reality. That's because the Democrat Party is the party of the military-industrial complex. They are the party of the war machine. If Bernie Sanders were president, we would not be talking about sending money to Ukraine. Bernie would not be sending money to Israel. The point is that they will never allow somebody who they can't control to become president. They would rather lose and then try again in 4 years and have then risk 8 years of somebody who's a renegade who the Democrat Party cannot control. So this is my most updated Zioli axiom for you, which is the Democrat Party would rather lose with someone they can control than win with someone they can't. And that's truth. That's the reality. So you can see that very clearly. Joe Biden never attempted to stop the war. If Kamala Harris were in the Oval Office right now, she would not be attempting to stop the war either. They would just be more money for Ukraine, more money for Ukraine, more weapons being sent over there. Josh Shapiro would be signing them, and they'd be sending them over there. So the president was asked about tariffs today, along with the president of El Salvador. And this is cut number 9 here. We talked about what he wants to see happen as a result of this. They are now up to, I think, 130 countries that now want to make deals with the United States of America. Cut number 9.
We're doing it because we want to make our own drugs. We're doing it because we want to make our own steel and aluminum, lumber, other things. And they're all coming in. We have record numbers, $7 trillion. Since I announced, like, a month and a half ago, since I came in, we have over $7 trillion being invested in the country. We didn't have $1 trillion. We didn't have $0.5 trillion for some of these guys. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. So we have the largest investment that we've ever heard of, and we're only 2 months in. And that'll continue at levels that you've never seen before. That's what's going to happen.
The idea of all these countries coming to the table, too, and there's certain things the president's exempting and moving in different. I mean, all this has to get worked out. I think that the obvious conclusion to all this would be deals. deals get announced and then people get excited and then we move on and we wind up having a situation where we have freer, fairer trade that is in the best interest of the United States of America, and then everybody wins. And then I think everybody will be very, very happy. And that's what would be great if that occurs. That's what would be great. And then you're going to see the confidence that remains in the market stay there. This is a clip I meant to get to actually last week. Selena Zito, our buddy Selena Zito, who's an excellent writer, an excellent author, and she has a new book out, and she has a piece she wrote about Pennsylvania and the steel mill. And what they're saying regarding when you go into the heart of, say, the must-win state of Pennsylvania, and you talk to manufacturers and cattle ranchers and other people like this regarding tariffs and what they say. And this is what Selena Zito said. This is Cut 28.
And it's very interesting to me to watch these two different worlds that I straddle. Because if you talk to manufacturers, if you talk to cattle ranchers, if you talk to farmers, if you talk to steel workers, if you talk to energy workers, they're all in for the tariffs. They're in completely, even if they take a hit on their 401k. Their attitude is, well, I took one in 2008 and 2020, and I'm doing okay. It'll come back. This levels the playing field. And the one guy said to me, the manager of the plant, he said, where was all the grief and people being upset when this industry just got shipped off to Mexico, shipped off to Canada, shipped off to Japan and China? There wasn't one.
So Kevin Hassett, who is the president's chief economic guy, for lack of a better term, he's a council of economic advisors. He talked about this and said there are now 130 countries seeking a new deal, seeking a deal with the United States of America, seeking to make a deal that is going to benefit the United States and benefit their countries as well. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. If you are hesitant about getting that complex dental procedure, call Dr. Mike for a second opinion. He'll put your mind to ease. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 856-786-2020. Cut 16.
The way that I would think about it is that in the previous administration, you could sort of say, if you're thinking about it in the football analogy, is that they were running out the clock. And that what's going on now in the Trump administration is across a wide array of policy areas, we're in a two-minute offense. And the two-minute offense is pushing, as you've seen, the reconciliation bill through so that we get tax relief for American people, deregulation, and, of course, trade policy. Now, on the trade policy, the whole point of the trade policy is to address the national emergency that we're too dependent on foreign products in the U.S., especially if we were at a time of conflict. And we're doing something about that. And the reciprocal act was basically, guys, if you come to the table and negotiate us with us and treat us the same way we treat you, then we'll, you know, get your rate really low. And so right now, 130 countries have responded, and we're negotiating with them, and they've got their rate down to 10%. And so really, it's kind of almost a two-world system. There's a process about China, and that's very, very nascent, if at all, and then the process for everybody else. So the process for everybody else is orderly. It's clear. People are coming to town with great offers. We've got Japan, Korea, India. I was just talking to the
Good. Great. Good. 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 Deals are good, and deals should happen, and that would be fantastic. And you know what's fun? What's interesting about this is that the China issue, as I mentioned to you last week, I mean, Democrats have been railing about China for years, for years. When we come back, I'll play you a flashback of that when Barack Obama was railing against China and what China does with their rare earth minerals as we continue along here in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Coming right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I took my my son Patrick on Saturday. We had a guy's day, and we went to see the new Minecraft movie. It was pretty good. I was, you know, we talked about, I think it was, let's see, if I'm not mistaken, I think Justine Bateman, the actress, tweeted out the other day that they're going to do a remake, a reboot of Gremlins and Goonies. And we talked about this on Friday, guys, on the reboot of the Naked Gun movies. They're rebooting that. And the thing about it is that I'm firmly against this, but then I read this piece today. So I was at Fox News. I think I might have mentioned I was on America's Newsroom this morning with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer, along with Jimmy Fallon. Anyway, I had some time to kill because I had the car pick me up at 6:30 just in case the time changed. And so they have a cafeteria on the third floor, and I was there having some coffee and overlooking the bar across the street where I left my jacket last time after the taping of Fox News Saturday Night, sort of taunting me, you know, looking at that bar. It was haunting me and taunting me. And so I was reading the Wall Street Journal this morning, and this story about how Hollywood is cranking out original movies, but people aren't showing up for original movies. They're fizzling at the box office. So that's the reason why you keep getting all these reboots. Like there's another Jurassic Park coming out. It has Scarlett Johansson in it. It's called like Jurassic World Rebirth or something. So if you wonder why they keep trying to reboot all these things that we do, and it's this, because the original stuff is making no money. There's a movie called Drop that just opened, and it opened up to $7.5 million domestically. Disney has a spy thriller called The Amateur. It opened at $15 million. That's what it did in the opening, $15 million. So they, all these movies that are coming out, unless they have a tie-in to something like the versus the Minecraft movie, which I took Patrick to, that movie on the opening weekend, I think made something like they said, like $250 million. It might've been more, maybe $350 million or something crazy like that. I mean, it was they made a ton of cash, whatever that opening weekend was the first. And that's really what it comes down to. It all comes down to the opening weekend. And now, of course, obviously China is retaliating. $280 million. That's what it made. $280 million. The Minecraft movie. That's why there's a new Superman movie coming out. It's why there's another Marvel movie coming out. It's why there's another, they're remaking the Fantastic Four. That's coming out. And it's because they can't make money with the original stuff. Nobody wants to go to the theaters anymore. And they say that people are just happy to wait and then rent it at home. And, you know, you think about it too. This movie, for example, Novocaine. Now that was in the box office. I think I blinked and it was out of the box office. And now you can rent it on Amazon Prime and watch it at home. So you could either go to the theater and you could spend 15, 17, 20 bucks for a ticket, whatever it is, and then get the snacks and everything like that. Or you can rent it or buy it for $20 or $25 at home. You just have to wait a couple weeks. And that's what people are winding up doing. So if you're wondering, is Hollywood out of ideas? Probably in a big degree. But it really comes down to the only movies that are making money now are superhero movies and reboots of stuff that we knew. That's why they're not redoing, but they're doing a spinoff of The Naked Gun. Let's be honest. They could have called it anything. They could have called it just, it could be a new wacky police movie. It doesn't have to be tied into The Naked Gun. It really is no, other than saying Frank Drebin, Sergeant Frank Drebin, or Captain Frank Drebin, or Lieutenant Frank Drebin, or whatever rank he was pulling at the time, there's no real tie-in to Police Squad other than the name. It's like the Joker movie. There's no real tie-in to the character Joker from Batman, but that movie would have been an artsy movie about some guy spiraling into mental illness, and nobody would have went to see it. They call it Joker. They slap the name Joker on it. Then people go to see it and they make hundreds of millions of dollars. Same thing with the Naked Gun movie. If it had just been called Crazy Cops, Wacky Police Room, it would have made no money. So now they're going to do a reboot of Goonies, one of my favorite movies of all time, and a reboot of Gremlins, one of my favorite movies of all time. And they're going to keep doing this because they're tapping into the nostalgia of a generation that wants to see something they grew up with. But I'm telling you, it's not a recipe for success in the long run. They remade, or not remade, but they did a spinoff, another Beverly Hills Cop, It was terrible. It was a Netflix, I think, and it was terrible. It was so bad. Justin, you saw that, right? And it was terrible?
Yeah,
you hated it, didn't you?
Absolutely god-awful.
God-awful. God-awful. And I don't know, in watching that Naked Gun trailer, I don't have a good feeling about this. I really don't. I don't have a good feeling about this, and it just seems to me like you're just slapping the name on it. And so now another Warner Brothers officially confirms new Gremlins and Goonies movies coming out. Per Deadline, they confirm the movies are in development. The Hunt for Gollum is also coming out, and Gremlins and Goonies will be back with new films. I don't know what you do about that. I don't know how you even go with that other than you're just using the name to try to get people into the theater. So if you're wondering why, that's why. That's the reason why, because they can't make any money. So this is interesting. The Democrats all use of the same word to describe the Trump administration. It's one word. Chaos. This is put together by Western Lensman. He's doing really great work on Twitter these days. He's really doing a nice job of putting together these compilations. I don't know who he is. He uses a picture, like a character of a Western guy. Western Lensman. I think Lensman being obviously a nod to camera. Western Lensman. But he puts together these little videos. And this is a montage including some of your favorites. Chuck Schumer, Pete Buttigieg, Eric Swalwell, Amy Klobuchar, Seth Meyers, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Chris Kirsten Gillibrand, Stephen Colbert, Adam Schiff, and more. Every time you hear the word chaos, take a shot, take a drink. Thanks to Michael Pelka for sending this my way this morning. Cut 21.
We begin this hour with the chaos.
The average American sees chaos. The American people see chaos.
It's total chaos.
You brought chaos.
It's just complete chaos.
Unleashed an economic chaos.
They unleashed chaos.
They are creating chaos.
This chaos. Oh, there's too much chaos.
Total chaos.
And amidst the chaos.
I'm going to see chaos.
After seeing all the chaos.
The chaos he has unleashed on America.
Continue to see the chaos.
Economic chaos.
A lot more chaos.
Trump's chaos.
This is chaos with such chaos.
The chaos because of this chaos. Chaos.
All of this chaos.
Uncertainty and chaos.
Given all that chaos.
When it's chaos.
All the chaos.
Chaos and confusion grow.
It's more chaos, dysfunction.
The chaos is the purpose. The chaos is the goal.
It's chaos.
Chaos. So if you did drink, you'd be dead. So I'm glad you didn't actually take my advice on that. That wasn't advice. I can't legally advise you to drink, especially not in the air or if you're driving home or ever, just for that record. Okay, let me ask this question now. Let's see here if I want to do this. There's a lot I want to do. Matt DeSantis, I know we talked earlier about everybody having a podcast. We had this conversation earlier in the show. Everybody's got a podcast now, right?
Andy Beshear, the latest.
Andy Beshear, the latest. But here's my question. Jim Acosta has a podcast. Now, does he do that from journalist internment camp? Or how does it work? I didn't know most prisoners were allowed to do podcasts, so I'm wondering how that works.
I'm ashamed to say I didn't even know he had a podcast. And you know how I love
listening to... You're ashamed to say you didn't know that Jim Acosta had a podcast? You should be ashamed if you did know he had a podcast.
Well, you know I love listening to Chuck Todd's. I feel like there's probably a ton of content in Jim Acosta's podcast that is just waiting to be mined because nobody else is listening to it. But to answer your question, it looked like he was doing his podcast from a comfortable home office and not journalist internment camp.
That's just odd to me because I thought he was in journalist internment camp for life, but I guess not. So America's mother-in-law went on the Jim Acosta podcast. Boy, that's a riveting combination right there. And whined about how Donald Trump is a king and we're no longer a nation of laws. Cut 20.
The president of the United States can do something like this. It's very disturbing, it seems to me.
Jim, these are all just signs of the king, right? The king, unlimited power, and all that matters is
God, that voice
whatever
gets
bothers
me.
Him or engages him. It's not about trying to make this country work better for everyone else. Let me ask you, going after these guys,
I get it. We can all talk about how this has a chilling effect. Who wants to do the investigations that need to be done? By the way, right now, the SEC and the Department of Justice need to be investigating Donald Trump and all of his close-in advisors over what happened on Wednesday. And was this stock manipulation and a violation of federal law? But who looks left and looks right and says, what will Donald Trump do? And then it means we are no longer a nation of laws. We are just a kingdom. We are all just servants to the king, Donald Trump.
Okay. Now, this idea of the insider trading, the Democrats are going all in on this to investigate Trump on this insider trading, not because, you know, he tweeted out, this is a great time to buy, relax, and then a few hours later, relax the tariffs. Well, so Cory Booker was asked about this on Meet the Press and was asked flat out, do you have evidence? Do you have evidence of the president? Do you have proof of insider trading? Bottom line, do you have proof? Because, you know, you're going to grandstand about this. Count Grandstangelo, Spartacus, Booker, and the Tears of Rage Man. Do you have any proof? Cut 19.
Condemned, and it should be stopped the way it's happening right now because it's hurting American people.
You know, some of your Democratic colleagues are actually calling for an investigation into whether or not there was insider trading. The president saying it's a good time to buy, and then, of course, hitting the pause button on some of those tariffs. Do you believe that Democrats have any real evidence that anyone in the administration profited off of the president's policies and announcements, or is this just a fishing expedition?
You know, here's the problem with Donald Trump and
yes or no.
Congressional Republicans.
Do you have evidence?
Our whole system was designed to have checks and balances. Now, Trump has designed an administration like none we've ever seen before.
Do you have evidence?
Attacking the very agencies that are supposed to have independent oversight of these kind of actions. So we see him.
All right.
So
he doesn't have any evidence. Can you play the do you need a hug clip for me? Because I need a hug. I could use a hug right now. That's what I could use at this moment. I think we all could as a nation. But it's okay. It's all right. We got to cut that and make it a drop. We're going to need that a lot. We're definitely going to need that going forward. Yeah, we'll have to add that to the Cory Booker collection, along with This Is My Spartacus Moment and Tears of Rage. This is one of the good ones, I think. Probably one of the best. I'll tell you, though, as you think about Democrats and all of their hysteria over Trump and over the tariffs, there was one guy who was not at all hysterical about meeting Trump, and that's Bill Maher. And when we get back, I'll share with you what Bill Maher said about his meeting with Trump. Remember, Kid Rock set up this meeting with Donald Trump and Bill Maher. And I've been playing Bill Maher's clips on the show for years, but I've always said the same thing, which is that he's got a different audience, so he's reaching different people. And it's a good thing that he says these things. He takes on woke and he takes on all these other people that are insane people. But he was always so incredibly critical of Trump. And I kept saying, why? Why? When you two were basically saying many of the same things, and yet he kept coming out there and hammering Trump and hammering Trump and hammering Trump. And so Kid Rock had the idea of saying, well, let me set up a dinner between Bill Maher and the president. Let me set up a dinner, and then you could sit down and have dinner with him. Now, Bill Maher goes to this dinner, and he finds out Trump's not a monster. Now, I've met President Trump, obviously. I've been one-on-one with him on a couple different occasions. So I knew this. He's a very different persona when you're with him one-on-one, as anybody is, mano a mano, versus in front of a crowd or on TV. And, you know, the way you are at a rally with 100,000 people is going to be different than the way you are sitting down and having dinner with somebody. And so you're going to see a different side of that person. But Bill Maher also fell victim to the caricature. Actually, let's just cue up cut number 12 here, Justin. He fell victim to the caricature of Donald Trump as being this grotesque human being. And then when he actually met him and sat down with him, he couldn't believe it, that a different person that he could have ever imagined. I believe it because I've been with him one-on-one. I've been with him and sat down with him. And everybody who sits down with him or meets him says the same thing about him. But for so many people who are on the left and their Trump derangement syndrome, they can't get past the caricature that they've created of Orange Man Bad. And so that's all they see. And for Bill Maher, to his credit, he sits down with the guy and he goes, you know what? That's not the person that I imagined. Cut 12.
At one point, we were walking through his amazing, it is an amazing tour of the whole house. And I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but it must have been something with the 2020 election, because I know he used the word lost. And I distinctly remember saying, wow, I never thought I'd hear you say that. He didn't get mad. He's much more self-aware than he lets on in public. Look, I get it. It doesn't matter who he is at a private dinner with a comedian. It matters who he is on the world stage. I'm just taking as a positive that this person exists, because everything I've ever not liked about him was, I swear to God, absent, at least on this night with this guy. Bob,
imagine
Kid Rock, told me the night before, he said, if you want to get a word in edgewise, you're going to have to cut him off. He'll just go on. Not at all. I've had so many conversations with prominent people who are much less connected. People who don't look you in the eye. People who don't really listen because they just want to get to their next thing. People whose response to things you say just doesn't track, like, what? None of that with him. And he mostly steered the conversation to, what do you think about this? I know, your mind is blown. So is mine.
See? By the way, breaking news, the White House has officially asked Congress to claw back funding from NPR and PBS. The Trump administration is asking Congress to rescind $1.1 billion in federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and National Public Radio. This could ultimately eliminate almost all federal support for NPR and PBS. But they won't claw back about $100 million allocated for emergency communications. That would be the difference. So I'll give you more details on that as we continue along the show here today, our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
The suspect accused of arson at the governor's house arrived for his arraignment on Monday. Bail has been denied. He was silent as he was brought from a Pennsylvania State Police car into the courthouse wearing a beige green sweatshirt. This is from 6ABC, with a hospital bracelet on his right wrist, handcuffed and shackled at the waist. He stuck his tongue out at one reporter who asked why he did his alleged crime. He sat at the defense table nearly motionless, asked if he understood the eight counts against him, including attempted homicide, terrorism, and aggravated arson. He replied, yes, ma'am. When Judge Dale Klein asked him whether he suffered from mental illness, he replied, that's the rumor, but no, ma'am. His attorney said that Ballmer is indigent, and asked for a reasonable monetary bail, but the judge denied bail, saying that while appreciating that the man turned himself in, there were no conditions that could keep him from being a danger to the community. When the judge announced she was denying bail, the suspect said, thank you, ma'am. A mechanic who had previously expressed disdain for Democrats on social media, but of course this is 6ABC reporting this, he had also expressed disdain for Donald Trump as well. And let's see here. Shapiro and his family were in the residence at the time of the fire, which was reported at 2 a.m. on Sunday. They were evacuated safely. 38-year-old guy. And he apparently walked an hour from his house, made two Molotov cocktails from Heineken bottles he had at home, threw them inside the governor's mansion after breaking a window with a hammer. A series of photos released by the Pennsylvania State Police from inside the governor's residence showed extensive fire damage to a room next to where Shapiro said he and his family hosted guests for a Passover dinner Saturday night. He's arrested. He allegedly carried out a domestic terrorism incident that put the governor, his family, and firefighters at risk. The fire chief described it as surreal to see fire shooting from the governor's residence. He said firefighters had to cut parts of the gates to stretch hose lines inside. It took about a half hour to get the fire under control. That there had never been a fire drill conducted at the governor's mansion before. The door from the main dining room was closed at the time of the blaze, keeping the fire from spreading into the living quarters. Had the door not been closed, they said the entire family would have been at serious risk. After turning himself in, the psycho told police he would have attacked Shapiro with the hammer if he happened upon the governor inside the residence. And they said state troopers recovered a unique snap-on jacket with the distinctive shoulder patches and a bag containing a gasoline container. Now, the mother says that he's off his meds and he's bipolar and he's schizophrenic. But we don't know anything beyond that. So it seems like the guy's a local nut job, and that's about as much as we know at this point right now. But no bail for him, and probably a good move by the judge. He's obviously a danger to himself and probably a danger to everybody at this point. No question about it. I don't believe when he said he's not mentally ill that's the rumor, but no man, ma'am, it seems like he's just an absolutely freaking nuts. No doubt about that. So we'll see what comes of this tomorrow. Now, the president has just asked Congress to rescind funds for NPR and PBS. That's outstanding. So we'll have more on that tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a busy day, as every day is a busy day, because that's the world we live in right now. So we'll be back tomorrow for a 4-hour show. In the meantime, keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Have a great rest of your evening and a safe drive home. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.